Welcome everyone to the Bidder Information webcast for the upcoming March 2020 auction under AEP Ohio's Competitive Bidding Process, or CBP. I'm Chantal Lagasse from NERA Economic Consulting, and I have with me today Rachel Northcutt and Pa Ye, who will help me present the materials for this morning's webcast. I'll start with a disclaimer. Throughout this presentation, we'll be making statements that describe, refer, and make summaries of certain documents. And those statements will be summaries only, and they're qualified in their entirety by my reference on this slide to the governing documents for this upcoming March 2020 auction. The governing documents include the Commission's order under case 16-1852-EL-SSO, the CBP rules, which are the bidding rules for the auction under the competitive bidding process of Ohio Power Company, the Master Standard Service Offer, or SSO, supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, as well as the Part 1 application and the Part 2 application. All of those governing documents, as well as full documentation for the auction, is provided on the CBP website, and that's www.aepohiocbp.com. I mentioned that I'm from NERA Economic Consulting, and NERA is the auction manager for AEP Ohio's CBP process, and as such, we are the main point of contact for bidders. We also ensure that the CBP rules, as they were approved by the Commission, are followed. We also process the qualifications from bidders and ensure that those qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. Finally, we administer the auction itself and then present the results of the auction to the Commission. For the presentation today, I'll provide an overview of the upcoming auction and summarize the product design and contract. Then I'll pass it along to Rachel, who will discuss the CBP website, where to find information on the website, as well as the application process, and Paul will then take us through the details of the CBP rules talking about bidding in the auction. Throughout the presentation, you can ask questions in writing, and that's through the WebEx interface. You can locate the Q&A on the right-hand side of your screen, select all panelists in the Ask box, and type in your question. You can then click Send to submit your questions to us. We're going to respond to your question as we go along if we can, and otherwise we will pause at the end of the presentation and respond to any questions that are outstanding at this point. A copy of this presentation will be posted to the CBP website, and any questions and answers that we provide through this presentation will be posted to the FAQ section of the CBP website. So I'll start then to provide an overview of this upcoming auction. So first, note that the date of the auction has changed with respect to the date that was tentatively announced previously, and the auction will be held on March 24th, 2020. This is one of a series of full requirements auction that were approved by the Commission under AEP Ohio's Electric Security Plan, or ESP, specifically its fourth ESP. As you can see, this is the sixth. You can see from the graphic on this slide, this is the sixth auction that is expected under the ESP, and it will feature two products, a 12-month product and a 24-month product, where the supply period for each of these products will be begin on June 1, 2020. It's also noted on this slide that there's 17% of the load of SSO customers that are procured through the 12-month product and through the 24-month product, where 1% of the load of SSO customers represents one tranche. The prior auction featured the same product configuration as I just discussed will be coming up for this auction, namely a one-year product and a two-year product with 17 tranches or representing 17% of the SSO load. For that auction, there were 15 registered bidders. The auction lasted 16 rounds, and from starting prices in the range of 55 to 75 megawatt hour, the clearing prices or final prices of the auction were $40.18 for the one-year product and $42.83 for the two-year product. After the auction closed, as auction manager, we presented a report to the commission regarding the results of the auction, and the commission accepted those results on November 6, 2019. Each tranche, which is a fixed percentage of the load of SSO customers, standard service offer customers, represents 1%, and the product here is a full requirement product. That means that the supplier will provide all the products as required by PJM to serve that fixed percentage of SSO load that supplier has won at the auction. SSO customers here are those customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, but it does exclude percentage of income payment plan or PIP customers. So there's a separate auction process for PIP customers that will follow the auction for SSO customers that is planned for March 24, 2020. A supplier that wins tranches at the auction takes on LSC responsibility for the load that it has won at the auction. That includes scheduling SSO supply and making all required arrangements for the delivery of SSO supply. The delivery point, the P-node, is provided on this slide. As I mentioned, the load is divided into a number of tranches. Each tranche represents 1%, and the tranche target for each of the products in this auction is 17 tranches. The additional information we have on this slide is the fact that there is a load cap, so there's a maximum on the number of tranches that a bidder can bid and win at the auction, and that's 27 tranches across both products. The auction is conducted as a descending clock auction, and I'll provide here just a general overview of how that works. The auction format is a multi-product, multi-round type of auction format. It's multiple product in the sense that all of the tranches for both products are auctioned at the same time. In each round, prices for those products are announced, and suppliers state how many tranches they want to supply at those prices that have been announced that we call the going prices for the auction. At the end of the round, if there's more tranches that are bid by suppliers than tranches that are needed for a given product, then the price for that product will tick down in the next round. So from one round to the next, prices will tick down if there is excess supply, and the auction will continue, and will continue to a point where the prices no longer tick down when the supply that is bid by the in the auction is equal to the number of tranches that are required for the auction. Of note is that during the auction, when one round goes to the next, suppliers can switch their bid from one product to the other. There are various ways in which clock auctions can be conducted, And for the particular clock auction that has been approved for AEP Ohio CBP, there is no sealed bid rounds. And that means that bidders will be providing exit prices as they withdraw tranches throughout the auction. The auction will establish a single clearing price, so this is a uniform clearing price auction for each of the products. During this presentation, we're making a number of announcements, and those announcements are on this slide. The first announcement is the minimum and maximum starting prices. So this is a range where the minimum is $55 per megawatt hour and the maximum is $75 per megawatt hour. So this is the same range that was used for the November auction that featured the same products. And what this means is that the starting prices of the auction are the prices that will be set in round one, from which prices will subsequently be reduced to their closing levels. Those starting prices or round one prices will be selected within this range. So those round one prices will be no lower than $55 a megawatt hour and no higher than $75 per megawatt hour. The second announcement is the megawatt measure for each tranche, and that is 24.7 megawatts, and that's based on the PLC of the five highest coincident peaks by PJM in the prior year for SSO customers. So it's for SSO customers only and exclude shopping load. Now, this megawatt measure is provided to you really for information purposes only. So the amount or the actual quantity that will need to be delivered will depend on the number of factors that are not taken into consideration here. The third announcement are the seasonal factors. So suppliers of a product will be paid the auction price. As I mentioned, the auction is a uniform price auction. All suppliers will be paid the same auction price times a seasonal factor, but the seasonal factors are set to one. I'll next talk about the key events coming up and generally the schedule for the auction process. After this webcast, the window for submitting applications will begin. The application process is in two parts, and the window to submit the Part 1 application will open this coming Monday on February 3rd. There's roughly a two-week period in which Part 1 applications may be submitted, and the due date for the Part 1 application will be February 19th, noon Eastern on February 19th. The Part 1 applications will then be assessed, and suppliers will receive a notification giving them the results of the Part 1 application process on February 25th. For those suppliers that have a successful Part 1 application and then become qualified bidders, those suppliers may then proceed to submit the Part 2 application starting on the 26th of February. Again, there's about a two-week period during which Part 2 applications may be submitted, with the due date for the Part 2 applications being March 10th at noon Eastern as well. The Part 2 applications are assessed, and suppliers will receive a notification of whether the Part 2 application was successful, including further details on the auction and how certain parameters are set, by March 17, 2020. The day after the notification for the Part 2 application is given is a trial auction. So this is an opportunity for all suppliers to test their own systems and their ability to submit bids in the auction through specialized auction software. Finally, the auction itself will start on March 24th. The application process is completely online, so there's no hard copy of the application form that are required. At a general level, the Part 1 application asks you to provide various contact information for members of your team that will be authorized to act on behalf of the bidder throughout the auction process. There's also additional forms that are called inserts that are forms in Microsoft Word format that you can fill in, and in certain cases as required that you will be printing to sign and then to scan and upload back to the Part 1 application. You can also upload various required supporting documents, including financial documents, as the supplier is subject to a creditworthiness assessment as part of the Part 1 application process. There's then the Part 2 application that's also online. Generally speaking, you will provide additional information in the Part 2 application, including an indicative offer. And that indicative offer will provide an indicative quantity for the maximum and the minimum starting price. You will also have additional forms that are going to be inserts, including certifications of your compliance with specific rules of the auction. And finally, you will be providing pre-bid security in the form of a pre-bid letter of credit or cash. And in certain circumstances, you'll be required to provide additional pre-bid security. Bidders that are registered to participate in the auction are those that will be successful in the Part 2 application. And after the auction has concluded, then the auction manager will provide the auction results to, a summary of the auction results to the commission for approval. And of course, any auction results that you see during the auction will be contingent on that approval by the commission. The commission issues a decision on the auction results within 2 days of the auction close, and the commission may at that time release specific information such as the auction clearing price and the names of the winning bidders from the auction. The master SSO supply agreement will then be fully executed by the winning bidders and by AEP Ohio within 3 days of the commission's acceptance of the results. During that time, winning bidders will also be fulfilling all the creditworthiness requirements of the SSO supply agreement. I'll just say a little bit more about the master SSO supply agreement or the contract. So first, as I mentioned, these tranches are full requirements tranches. You are bidding to provide full requirements service where you are assuming all the responsibility of a load-serving entity in PJM or LSC. All of the specific obligations of bidders are fully defined within the contract, so within the master SSO supply agreement. Specifically, there is an attachment on the master SSO supply agreement, which is attachment F, which is a sample PJM invoice that provides the responsibility either to AEP Ohio or to the SSO supplier of each line item on the PJM invoice. I'll say a little bit about the credit provision under the master SSO supplier agreement. So there are two separate credit requirements under the master SSO supplier agreement. And corresponding to these two separate credit requirements, there are also two separate unsecured credit lines that a supplier or its guarantor can apply for. The first such credit requirement is what is called the independent credit requirement. So this is a specific amount that's required per tranche of financial security that will be provided upon signing the master SSO supplier agreement. And that amount declines throughout the term of the master SSO agreement. Corresponding to this requirement, there's also the possibility of obtaining an independent credit threshold, an unsecured credit line for purposes of meeting the independent credit requirement. There's also a mark-to-market, which is evaluated on the basis of the difference between prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date the auction was completed. And for this credit requirement, there's also the possibility of the supplier or its guarantor obtaining a credit limit that can be used to meet any mark-to-market credit requirement under the master SSO supply agreement. Now, of note is that in the Part 1 application, the creditworthiness of the supplier or its guarantor will be assessed, and you will be provided the results of this assessment with your notification for the Part 1, and you will then know what kind of credit limit or be able to assess what kind of credit limit or independent credit threshold you can expect under the terms of the master SSO supply agreement. The credit instruments that you can use to provide financial security under the master SSO supply agreement are appended to the contract, so the form of guarantee and the form of performance assurance letter of credit. There is also a list of acceptable modifications that AEP has accepted for the performance assurance letter of credit that's posted to the website. And that concludes a very quick overview of some of the provisions of the master SSO supply agreement. And I'll pass it along to Rachel to discuss how to access and what to see on the CBP website.
Thank you, Chantal. Good morning, everyone. Again, in these next few sections, I'll provide you with an overview of the auction website, and then I'll discuss the application process and review some of the information that bidders will need to provide in their Part 1 and Part 2 applications. The AEP CBP website is a central source of information where bidders can find posted announcements made by the auction manager, the schedule for the current auction, and auction documents, and even data made available by AEP Ohio. Bidders can navigate between the various pages on the website by clicking the appropriate tab name on the left-hand side of the website highlighted here. Clicking on the information tab displays the links to access the documents page, as well as the links to the announcements and FAQs page. On the documents page, bidders can find the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, and the pre-bid security documents. Also on this page are illustrative versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. And again, today's presentation will be posted to the documents page of the website and is expected to be made available later today. Clicking on the Data Room tab will take you to a page where AEP Ohio has made available hourly energy data, as well as customer count data, PLC, and NFPL data, and monthly switching statistics. And the information on this page is updated on a monthly basis on or before the 20th of each month. To contact us, the auction manager, you may click on the Contact Us tab of the website. And here you can register to receive announcements about the auction as well as any upcoming auctions. And you can also register to receive login credentials to access the application forms to participate in the auction. If you have a question, you can click on the Ask a Question link and complete the information displayed here on this slide. Your question will be submitted to the auction manager, and we will provide an answer to your question generally within 2 business days. Alternatively, you may submit any questions to us by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. In this next section, I'll review the process of applying to participate in the auction. First, the applications to participate are completed online and on a separate website that's different from the AAP-CBP website. To receive login credentials to access the applications, you'll need to register for an account. And again, this is done through the Contact Us tab. However, if you're a returning bidder and you've participated in the AAP options before, the option manager will automatically send you your login credentials, so you won't need to register for an account again. But new bidders who have not participated in the options should register for an account on the website, and after clicking Contact Us, you'll want to click on the Register for an Application Account link. New bidders can also send us an email to receive login credentials, but please make sure to include your first and last name, your company name, and contact information in case we need to reach you. The application process is streamlined for returning bidders in that certain fields within the Part 1 form will be pre-populated with information that was previously provided. For example, the contact information for the representative will be pre-populated with what was provided last time. Please review any pre-populated information to make sure that it's still the most up-to-date and then update this information as necessary. Not all information will be pre-populated for returning bidders. All bidders, both new and returning, are required to provide financial information and are required to make a number of certifications regarding the auction rules in the master SSO supply agreement. The online form will also include designated spaces for uploading inserts. Again, these are Microsoft Word documents that you'll want to complete, and then you will upload these back into the online form. All of the inserts can be found on the application website. So bidders should review and complete any required inserts, sign them, and have them notarized as needed, and then upload them into the online form in their designated space. In this next slide, I'll give an overview of the Part 1 application requirements. The first section of the Part 1 form will ask you to complete contact information for the bidder and for various representatives. In this section, a bidder may also choose to name additional representatives or nominees. And these individuals, along with the main representative, will be included on all correspondence with the auction manager. The next section of the Part 1 form requires a bidder to provide information related to its status as a PJM member and to indicate whether it is currently a market buyer, market seller, and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. Bidders are also required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules, agreeing to the terms of the master SSO supply agreement, and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Another section of the Part 1 form will ask bidders to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying. Note that additional information will be required for bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. There is also a section in the Part 1 form where bidders may propose modifications to the pre-bid credit documents. This would be the pre-bid letter of credit and the letter of reference. These credit instruments may need to be submitted with a bidder's Part 2 application. So this section in the Part 1 form provides bidders with an opportunity to propose changes to these documents. AAP Ohio will review any proposed modifications, and a response will be provided to the bidder indicating which changes are acceptable and which are not. A preliminary list of acceptable modifications to the pre-bid documents or pre-bid security documents can be found on the documents page of the auction website. This slide gives an overview of the inserts that may be required with a bidder's Part 1 application. The representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the legal representative insert will be retained in the Part 1 form for returning bidders, and returning bidders do not need to upload new copies of these inserts unless the information provided has since changed and needs to be updated. Other inserts, like the certifications insert, will not be retained for returning bidders, and all bidders, both new and returning, will need to provide new copies of these inserts. Lastly, some of the inserts are only required in certain circumstances. For example, the PJM requirements insert should be provided if a bidder is currently not a member of PJM in good standing or is not qualified as a market buyer, market seller, or load-serving entity. If a bidder satisfies all requirements of the Part 1 application, that bidder will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager on February 25th and will then be invited to submit a Part 2 application. New bidders and returning bidders must fulfill the same requirements in the Part 2 form. In the Part 2 application, bidders submit their indicative offer and preliminary interest in the available products at the minimum and maximum starting prices. They'll provide pre-bid security and make a number of additional certifications. Foreign entities will have additional requirements to complete with their Part 2 application as well. I'll next review in more detail some of the requirements of the Part 2 application. The Part 2 form will require bidders to provide an indicative offer. This is the maximum number of tranches that a bidder is willing to bid across all available products at the minimum starting price and at the maximum starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is important as it is used to determine the amount of pre-bid security a bidder must provide with its Part 2 application. And this value also sets the total number of tranches that a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction. This is also called a bidder's initial eligibility. And we'll provide more information about a bidder's initial eligibility later in this presentation. But again, this number is set equal to a bidder's indicative offer at the maximum starting price that's named in the Part 2 form. A bidder must also provide its preliminary interest in each product. This is the number of tranches that a bidder is willing to bid for each product at the maximum and minimum starting price. This is different from the indicative offer, as the indicative offer can be thought of as a total number of tranches that a bidder is willing to win across all products. A bidder submits its preliminary interest at the maximum and minimum starting price for each product separately, and a bidder's preliminary interest in a product is not binding and is only informative. The preliminary interest values shouldn't exceed the indicative offer at that price. But the sum of a bidder's preliminary interest across all products can exceed the indicative offer at the maximum starting price. For example, a bidder may state that it's only willing to win a total of 10 tranches across both the 12-month and 24-month products at the maximum starting price, but that bidder can state that its preliminary interest in each product separately is 10 tranches, such that the bidder is willing to only win 10 tranches in total, but those 10 tranches could be all tranches of the 12-month product or of the 24-month product or any combination of both products. There are some additional rules that limit the number of tranches that a bidder can win in the auction. Specifically, a bidder may not win more than 80% of the tranches available in the auction. Additionally, a bidder may be limited by a credit-based tranche cap. This credit-based tranche cap is determined in a creditworthiness assessment made by AEP Ohio that is based on the financial information a bidder provides in the Part 1 form. More specifically, the assessment is made using the credit ratings provided in the Part 1 form in accordance with the table on this slide. Bidders can review the results of their creditworthiness assessment in their Part 1 notification. Bidders will also need to submit submit pre-bid security with their Part 2 applications in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security is equal to $500,000 per tranche of a bidder's indicative offer at the maximum starting price. Bidders may be required to provide additional pre-bid security in an amount of $300,000 per tranche if that bidder is relying on the financial standing of a guarantor or if the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying does not meet the minimum creditworthiness requirements under the master SSO supply agreement. Bidders will also need to make a number of certifications with their Part 2 form, certifying to comply with the association and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. Additionally, bidders must certify that any bid submitted in the auction is binding. Lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents that they provided with their Part 1 form. But please note that these executed versions must include any modifications that were required by AEP Ohio. And just like in the Part 1 form, the Part 2 form will require bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, but all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. Again, these inserts are available on the application website. I'll now pass things over to Pa to discuss bidding in the auction.
Thank you, Rachel. In the next section, I will talk about bidding in the auction. As Chantal mentioned earlier, the AEP Ohio CDP auctions are descending clock auctions. AEP auctions have the features of multi-product and multi-round design, meaning there will be one or more products available in an auction, and tranches for all products are procured at once. For this upcoming March auction, tranches for both one-year and two-year products will be procured together. In each round, suppliers can indicate how many tranches they want to supply at the price provided by the auction manager. Whenever there is excess supply for a product, the price for that product will tick down and auction proceeds to the next round. Suppliers also have the ability to switch bids from one product to another. Each round is composed of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. The preliminary schedule will be available for bidders in the auction software, as well as in the materials sent along with the Part 2 notification. Please note that during the auction manager may change the schedule. The change will be communicated to bidders via system messages, and it will also be reflected in the schedule page in the software. The auction manager will inform bidders who have a successful Part 2 proposal of round one prices no later than 3 days before the auction. The going prices for the first round will be the prices communicated to those bidders. The prices may or may not be the same for the two products. The going prices for round two and after will be announced during the reporting phase of the prior round. So round two going price is available in the round one report. In the bidding phase, bidders can specify how many tranches they are willing to supply at the going price. The calculating phase follows after the bidding phase ends. That's the time when auction manager tabulates the results of that round's bidding phase and calculate the prices for the next round. Reporting follows after calculating phase, where summary information will be provided to bidders. That includes the total excess supply across all products, the going prices for next round, as well as the results of the bidder's bid in this round. If it's determined that there's insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager's scan will reduce the volume. The criteria that could lead to a reduction in volume will be determined prior to the auction, but such criteria will not be announced to bidders. When bidding proceeds and these criteria have been met, the volume will no longer be reduced, and it will hold throughout the auction. Next, I will talk about bidding in round one and subsequent rounds. As mentioned earlier, round one prices are communicated to registered bidders prior to the auction day. In round one, each bidder can specify the number of tranches it's willing to supply at the round one prices. The initial eligibility for each bidder is determined by the indicative offer at the maximum starting price the bidder specified during part two application and the pre-bid collateral the bidder has put. Bidders will not be able to bid a number of tranches across all products that's higher than its initial eligibility. During the auction, a bidder will not be able to increase the number of tranches bid across all products, or in other words, its eligibility. However, a bidder can increase the number of tranches bid on one product by switching tranches from the other product. After the bidding phase concludes, the auction manager will calculate the results and publish reports in reporting phase. A sample round report can be found here. Bidders will be able to see the range of total excess supply, which is the aggregated excess supply for both products plus any free eligibilities. Free eligibility is a concept that we will not expand much in this presentation. Bidders will have opportunities to further understand this concept later on. The actual excess supply will be a number within the range provided. In this example, the range of total excess supply is 51 to 55, so the actual excess supply can be any number between 51 and 55, including those two numbers. The going prices for the next round will also be provided. Here, round two price for the one-year product will be $67.75 per megawatt hour, and the price for the two-year product will be $69.25. Aside from that, bidders will also be able to see the result of the bidders' own bids in this round, which includes the number of tranches the bidders have bid on each product. Information regarding other bidders' bids, identities, or eligibilities will not be accessible to any other bidder. In part two notification, each registered bidder will receive a bidder user manual. In the bidder user manual, bidders can find formula or tables for determination of decrement that is used to calculate the round prices. For each product, its price ticks down when there is excess supply. Price for a product ticks down more than another if there is more excess supply on that product. During the auction manager may override decrement. When that happens, the auction manager will communicate the change via system message in the auction software. You can also find the possible ranges of total excess supply in the bidder user manual. Those will be the exact same ranges you can see during the auction. Starting from round two, a bidder can do the following four things in response to reduction in prices. Remit its bids, withdraw tranches for one or more products from the auction, switch from one product to another, or switch and withdraw. Again, bidders cannot bid more than its initial eligibility across all products. The eligibility for round two will be the number of tranches the bidder bid in round one. After round two, eligibility in each round will be the eligibility in the prior round less any tranches that were withdrawn from the auction. Now I'm going to provide a few examples of what bidders can do in a round. First, a bidder can withdraw tranches for one or more products. In the example, the bidder maintains its six tranches on the one-year product, but bids two tranches, which is one tranche less than the prior round on the two-year product. So the bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the two-year product. The bidder is required to provide an exit price for this tranche. The exit price is the last and best offer for the withdrawn tranche. And it must be a price greater than the current going price, but less than or equal to the previous round going price. In the example, the bidder named an exit price of $61.88, for the tranche for the two-year product. After this round, the bidder's eligibility will change from 9 tranches to 8 tranches. The one tranche eligibility is lost. Second, a bidder can switch from one product to another. In the example, the bidder is reducing the tranches bid on the two-year product by one and increasing the tranches bid on the one-year product by one. The total eligibility remains at 9, but the allocation on the two products has changed. Note, there is a chance the request to switch will be denied. So in this round, a lot of bidders are switching out of the two-year product, and the total numbers of tranches among all bidders bid on the two-year product are less than the target for the two-year product. Then some of the switched tranches will be denied. A bidder can also do both switching and withdrawing. In the example, the bidder is switching one tranche from the two-year product to the one-year product. In the meantime, the bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the two-year product. Because of the withdrawing, the bidder is required to provide an exit price for the tranche reduced. Again, the bidder's eligibility will be reduced. The auction continues as long as there is positive total excess supply, or in other words, when the tranches bid are greater than the volume. When there is no more excess supply, the auction closes. A uniform price is determined for each product, and that's the auction clearing price for the product. Bidding on all products will stop at the same time, and all bidders that win tranches for a product get the same price. The clearing price for a product will be the lowest price at which tranche target for the product is filled. It can be the going price of the last round, an exit price that one of the bidders specified during the last round, or the price associated with a denied switch. Here is an example of how the auction clearing price is determined. I'm using the one-year product for illustrative purpose. I'm assuming the target for the two-year product has been filled. In round 11, the going price for the one-year product is $39.42. Bidders A, B, and C bid 7, 8, and 4 tranches on the product. So the total bid on the product is 19, which is 2 tranches more than the target of 17. In round 12, the going price reduced to $38.68. Bidder A withdrew 2 tranches with an exit price of $38.69. Bidder B withdrew 1 tranche at the exit price of $38.99. Bidder C withdrew 2 tranches at the exit price of $39.42. The total number of tranches bid on the product is now 14, which is 3 tranches less than the target. So 3 of the 5 withdrawn tranches will be retained. To fill the target, we take the 14 tranches bid at the going price, then go from ascending price order among the withdrawn tranches. The 2 cheapest tranches at $38.69 will be retained first. Then we move to the next lowest exit price of $38.99. We retain this tranche and our target of 17 tranches for this product will be filled. The auction clearing price will be the lowest price at which the target is filled. In this case, the clearing price is $38.99. All bidders who still have tranches on this product will get the same price of $38.99 for the product. This almost covers what can happen during the auction. A few more reminders about bidding in the auction. First, bidders submit their bids online using the auction software. Login credentials will be provided to bidders prior to the auction. We have scheduled the trial auction on Wednesday, March 18, for bidders to practice. During the auction, whenever a bidder has technical difficulties, they can submit bids by phone. Technical assistance will be available to take your bids and confirm the prices and number of tranches with you over the phone. The last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. A backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it's taken by the auction software, not when it is called in. So it's the bidder's responsibility to get a bid in on time. Please make sure you have the supported system and web browsers installed to minimize the chance of technical difficulties. If providing a backup bid, it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a bid that's complete and consistent with the CBP rules. Before the auction, please make sure you have the right version of system for your PC and a supported web browser listed here and a stable internet connection for the auction software. If you have any questions, feel free to contact the auction manager team by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. Please note, the pre-bid letters of credit for Part 2 should also be delivered to the auction manager at the Philadelphia address, not to AEP Ohio. This completes the presentation portion of the webcast.